All right. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, not bad. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming out to one of the last sessions of Mix 2011. Hope you've been having a good time. It's nice for me to be here because if you know anything about Seattle, this is a lot drier than I've gotten to be in the last 6 to 8 months. Feels better. I'm going to talk to you today about enhanced push notifications and live tiles for Windows Phone in our next release. But before I get started, I want to tell you a little story that'll tie into this, and it's a story about the first Windows Phone application that I developed when I started with the team about a year ago. I'm going to put it up here on the screen on the left side. And because I live in Seattle, I actually live north of Seattle in a place called Bothell. I've got like a 12-mile commute, but it takes me 30 to 45 minutes to do it. And I know if you're from LA, that might not seem too bad, but it drives me crazy. And so I like to be able to check the traffic and see how bad my commute's going to be when I get home in the afternoon. So I wrote my first app using the developer tools. It wasn't too bad. It showed a traffic map. It showed some traffic times. I had traffic cameras in there. Not too bad. At least it got me used to using the tools in Silverlight and C Sharp. But then when we launched, somebody put another traffic app up on the marketplace. And it was really pretty good. It did a lot of the things my app did, but it did them a lot better. It's clearly a lot better app than mine. But he did some neat things inside the app. The traffic cameras were very interactive, and the route map was better than mine. He had more choices. But to be honest, it wasn't anything about the inside of his app that made me want it. His app is good, it's very good, but it's not the experience in the app that made me want to buy it. There's only one thing about his app that made me want to pay money for it, and actually did pay for the app, and that's the live tile. He puts the traffic up on the live tile for you to see so you can see it quickly on your home screen. It's super useful, super quick. It's the same reason that I paid money for his app, and my app is still sitting on my hard drive and never made it into Marketplace. And that's just going to set the tone for what I want to talk about today. I'm going to talk about a lot of new features and push notifications and tiles. Most of the presentation is talking about the new APIs and showing demos. But I do also want to go about a little bit of background as well, because not everybody's used push notifications or tiles before. As a matter of fact, if you've written a push app before for Windows Phone 7, raise your hand. Really? Let's see, that's like 8 people. Okay? So this will be good. This will be good context for a lot of you. So push notifications are how you can keep your user engaged even when your application can't be in the foreground. Because as you know, a Windows Phone, your application isn't always running. And when it goes away, you need a way to engage the user, give them some new information. That's what push notifications is great for. And you combine that with live tiles on Windows Phone, I mean, they're very unique. You don't get live tiles on any other platform. Those two things together make for a first-class application experience. It's something that really drives usage of your application. People scream for it. They love it. Every application that has a live tile or a push notification component is more popular than similar applications of the same type. So what does it look like? There are a couple UX components to push notifications, and these are what they look like. There's also a non-UX component called raw notifications at the bottom of the screen there, and we're not really going to talk about that today. It's basically unchanged in the next release. A raw notification is just a way for when your app is running, you can just send a blob of data down to it through push, but it's not a visual element, really. The visual elements are what we call toast notifications, which are at the top of the screen there. That's the blue bar, and it has two text elements on it. It has a title, and it has a subtitle, and you can put whatever text you'd like in there. And whenever you send a toast notification and you click on it, it takes you directly to the application, so it's a way to invoke the application. And then we've also got tile notifications, which are probably the most famous, the most popular to use. A tile notification has three visual components. It has the count, which is the badge you see up in the top right corner, and that can be pretty much anything you want if it's between 1 and 99. If you send 0 or less than 0, then we don't show it. If you send 99 or greater, we just show 99. So 1 to 99 is what you can put in there. You've got title as well, and a title can be the title of the application if you want, but you can change it to some arbitrary text. I mean, some games use the title Your Turn whenever you've got a turn coming on the title instead. And then finally, you've got the background. And the background is where you can get really creative. The background can be anything you want. It can be dynamically generated as the image is fetched from the cloud. It can be static, like mine is. It can be a local image, or you can composite an image. I mean, whatever you want to do, you can do in the background. Some people don't even use the other two properties of count and title. They just do everything and render it into their background image. Okay, so that's the UX. That's what things look like. Now let's talk a little bit about how it actually works. And it's a simple architecture. There's three components. There's the phone in green, Windows Phone. There's the cloud service, and this is something you folks would write. You would write a cloud service. A lot of you probably already have a cloud service that you have for information, like if you have sports scores or news stories or what do you have in your service that your users already want access to. It's the same thing. You can just integrate push notifications into your cloud service. And finally, you've got MPNS, the Microsoft Push Notification Server. This is kind of the glue that binds everything together, right? So this is what keeps your cloud service and the phone in touch together, even when they can't really be in touch together through a direct connection. So the way this works is, when you write a push-enabled application, you use our API, and you basically are asking for a unique identifier. You can think of this as just a long URI, just like any other URI, that you're going to use later on to talk back to this device. You talk to what's called our push client service on the phone. So that's what we've got running all the time. It's a system component, runs in the background continuously. Once you talk to push client service, we're going to go out and talk to MPN on your behalf. Now, if you're the first person to use push, if you're the first application on the phone to use push, we establish this persistent channel. And when I say persistent channel, I mean we really try to keep it up and running all the time. And the benefit of doing this is that we can always reach down to the phone and do a push notification. You're one endpoint inside of that persistent channel. So your application is a single endpoint that lives inside that channel. Other applications become more endpoints inside that channel. But it's all the same channel, which is good because that means that you're not keeping a bunch of different channels open and then wasting battery or, you know, being less efficient on bandwidth. So that's the reason that there's all these endpoints inside the same channel. We do some negotiation with the server, and then the server comes back and gives us the URI, and we surface it to you. So there's a delegate that you can hook in your app. I'll show you that later. And basically, there's also a way you can go find it anytime manually if you want. But up into your application comes this long URI string. At that point, you want to let your cloud service know about that URI so that it can talk back to the phone at some point. And we recommend that you send your URI up to your cloud service, but also send some kind of unique identifying information up to your cloud service about the phone as well. There's a bunch of different ways you could do that. I recommend device unique ID is something you do, but just marry the two together so that you send device unique ID plus the URI up to your cloud service. And the reason to do that is because the URI that we give you shouldn't change very often. Actually, there's only a few rare cases where it does change, but it's always possible for it to change. So if it changes and you don't have some other unique thing about the phone to identify it, you won't know that the new URI coming in is for the same device. You will just think it's a new URI, a new device. You won't have a way to say it's replacing the old URI. And we actually recommend that every time your application starts up, you send that URI, because you're probably going to be talking to your cloud service to sync data to get the latest news or information anyway. Just send the URI up. Make sure you've always got the latest one in your cloud service. So now your cloud service has something to tell the phone. It's got something interesting it wants to say through a tile, a toast, some way it wants to talk down to your application. You're going to take and form a payload, and it's very, very simple. Basically, it's an XML template. The template's different depending on the type of notification. But you take that payload and form it up and just post it to that URI. Very, very simple. Just an HTTP post to that URI, and then it goes to MPN, the MPN server. And it's going to do the hard job of going out into the ether and figuring out where that phone's at and actually sending the notification down to the phone over our channel. And once the notification gets down to push client service, we take care of the rest for you. So if it's a toast, we'll show the visual UI for a toast. If it's a tile, we'll update the tile for you. If it's a raw, we'll deliver it right into your application. So that's the architecture. It's pretty simple, holds everything together pretty nicely. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some scenarios too. But instead of just giving you hypotheticals, let's talk about some of the applications that are actually out in marketplace today using push notifications. To begin with, there's an entire category of applications using push notifications, and those are weather apps. You've probably seen them. There's some really famous titles out there, WeatherBug, Weather Channel, but there's a lot of them that do this. And the basic scenario is you live somewhere, you like to keep an eye on the weather, or maybe you vacation somewhere if you're lucky. I don't, but and you want to see what the weather's like in Hawaii all the time or something. You pick a location, and you can display the weather on your tile. You also can do something like a weather warning toast. There's some applications that if there's flooding happening in the area, which happens all the time where I live, then they'll send you a toast notification just saying, hey, there's a flood watch in the area. The next type of application is actually something really unique that we weren't expecting anybody to do. This is called Send to WP7. So I am often at lunch, sitting at my desk, sadly, alone on the internet trying to read some stories, like something from the, you know, the tech press. And I typically don't get a chance to finish it, so I've got a plugin for the browser. It's actually an IE9 plugin, but he has it for other browsers as well. I'm just clicking the link, and I can have it send it to my phone using push notifications. So that way, whenever I get on the bus later that night on the way home, I can go back into this application, and I can see all these different links that I want to catch up on. Really simple, really easy implementation, and not something we were expecting people to do, but really handy to keep you up to date on things that you couldn't get to earlier in the day. And then the next two are both games. And these are great examples of turn-based gaming using push notifications. Chess by Post and Alpha Jacks are both turn-based games with basically the same model. Whenever it's your turn, they'll update your tile. So they'll change the tile to show the count. You can see the count and the badge on both of them. And they'll also typically change the title to say, your turn, or something like that. They don't really change their background image. They could if they wanted to. But most of the time, they're just trying to let you know you've got a turn that's waiting on you. And then they also send you a toast when your turn has come up. So someone makes a move, a toast comes to the top of the screen. If you click it, it takes you to the game. Or you can just ignore it and go into it later. They also update your tile to let you know it's your move. I actually sit on the couch at night with my wife right next to me, both with our phones out, playing Alpha Jacks. It works really well for kind of quick turn-based play. It's a great game. They're both really good examples of how to use push in a really solid way. They actually both use raw. I know I said I wouldn't say much about raw, but this is the one place. Raw notifications are great for these because if you're in the game board and the person next to you makes a move, instead of your game going to poll the service all the time to figure out if somebody moved, he just sends a raw notification down while the game board's open. And that way the board updates instantly after the person next to you has made a move. And now, Bees. Bees is a Twitter application. There's a lot of Twitter applications in the marketplace. When we first launched the phone, I used the official Twitter application, just Twitter. And then Bees came along, and in their first release, they didn't have push notifications. But it's a good-looking Twitter client. If you have never used it, you should give it a shot. It looks nice. It's well laid out. And then somewhere around the next couple of versions, they added push notifications to it. So what they do is they update your tile to show you the unread number of tweets you've got. And they'll send you a toast if somebody direct tweets you or mentions you in a tweet. And it's configurable in the app. You can choose what you want. And I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And apparently everybody else did too, because Bees shot up the rankings in Marketplace. As soon as they added push notifications, it skyrocketed up above all the other Twitter apps. And they did something really cool with their tile. You can see the count on their tile isn't using our badge. They actually are doing the composition of that image on the fly on their service when the client goes out to retrieve it to make it look more like the design for Metro on the Windows phone tiles that are native to the experience. It's a really nice looking way to integrate. And then finally is the one I talked about at the very beginning, Seattle Traffic Map. Basically, he lets you inside the application choose an area of the traffic that you want to see. I live up north, so that's why mine's kind of showing me the north part of 405 and 520. But you can pick the bridges in Washington or in Seattle if you want. You can pick the whole system. Whatever your commute is in the Seattle metro area, he's typically got a tile to show it. And you can choose the update interval. I choose every 30 minutes. He's got like an hour, 4 hours, whatever you want. But he just pushes the tile down on that interval. And it's great because I go to leave the office, I check, and I see that typically the whole thing's red. And so I just decide to take another way home. But it still lets me know what the best route to take home is. The main message here is that there are hundreds and hundreds of push applications in Marketplace today, and it keeps going up. Applications that use push, especially those that use push and update the tile, are always very, very popular. They always raise up in the Marketplace rankings once they add that feature in. So that was a little bit of the background. Let me talk about what we heard you guys say you wanted. So there was a lot of push notification developers out there today, and we did a lot of looking and talking to people on the forums and in different events, and we did get a lot of feedback, and we want to talk about how we address that. The first thing people said was, give me more control of my tile. Today, the only way to update your tile is through a push notification. And we saw people get pretty creative with that. If they didn't want to have a cloud service, but they did want their tile to feel more alive, they would send a push from within the application to themselves. So just form up the HTTP post message, send it out to the cloud, have it come right back in, just to get the tile updated and feel more alive. It's a great idea, but probably not the easiest way to do that. We heard, give me richer notifications and interactions from developers. Give me more ways that I can get the user engaged and grab them. We heard, give me more reliable notifications. People in certain areas of the world weren't completely satisfied with how push notifications worked for all the devices in the different areas. And so we heard that, and there's a lot I'm going to talk about later about how we made it more reliable no matter where you are or what you're doing. People said, give me more endpoints per phone. So I said earlier, when you use the push API, you become an endpoint on the phone. And we only, in the current release, let you have 15 push endpoints on the phone. And we've done a lot of research on this, and people thought that seemed a little low. But to be honest, most power users only have 10 push notification applications on their phone at any one time. So 15 is kind of getting close to that limit, and people asked us to bump it up. People said, give me more cloud samples. Because Push needs a service in the cloud, we had a lot of documentation on how to do the local API part and some stuff about how to do the cloud, but people said, how do I do it in Azure? Or just give me something so I can take and copy that and use it as a base for my cloud service to make it easier for me to get started. So as we move through the talk and get into some of these new features, I'm going to address all those points, and we'll see how we did at the very end. First thing we're going to give you guys is a local tile API. So this means that you don't have to use push notifications to update your tile anymore. You can update your tile just with a local API on the phone called Shell Tile, and you'll get full control of all the same properties that you could do with push. So you can update the count, you can update the title, you can update the image, all of that without ever needing to invoke push notifications at all. So this doesn't use one of those endpoints on the phone. This is completely separate. And some of the reasons we thought about this was, well, I wanted to write a calorie counter app, actually, to try and lose a little weight, and I didn't want to have to use push notifications just to get glanceable information on my tile about how many calories I'd consumed during the day. I wanted to go in the app, put in what I ate, have it post the calorie aggregate count out to the tile right then and there, and I don't need push for that. And that's a good example of what you could do. Another one people talked about was sticky notes. I just want a simple sticky note app. I want to just put something out there to remind me to do something. I should just be able to manipulate my tile locally and do that. But wait, there's more. You might have saw this in the keynote. It's really fantastic. We're going to give you multiple tiles as well. So your application doesn't have to have just one tile anymore. You always will have that application tile, but you can have multiple tiles for your application as well. And those additional tiles launch you right into the application experience that you specify. So I'm going to set up some terminology, but then I'm going to do a demo right after this because a picture is worth 1,000 words. But the application tile is the one you've always had. That's the one where you can go to the app list and click and hold and say pin to start. That's always existed. You're now going to get secondary tiles as well. And when you choose to create a secondary tile, you tell it where you want that to take the user inside your application. So when you click the secondary tile, instead of taking you to the main page of your app, it'll go to some other page that you specify and set up. It's a deep link into the application. One more thing before we get into the demo, you might have also seen in Joe's demo that we're doing back of tile updates as well now. So now you've got two surfaces that you can update for any tile that you own. So you could have multiple tiles, they could all have a front and back, some of them could have a front and back. However you want to do it and engage the user, you've got another surface now that you can put stuff on. And the surface is a little bit different than the front. On the back, you're going to get something called a content string. And it's a larger piece of text that has a nice cascading effect when it shows up. And it's bigger, and it's like a wrapping line of text. Put whatever you want in there. I'll show you an example of what I do later. You get the title again. This is the same style as the title on the front, but it's independent. It can say a different thing than the title on the front if you want. And then you also get the background again. So the background image, again, can be whatever you want. It's a 173 by 173 PNG. Do whatever you'd like with it. And the animation I'll show you, it actually flips kind of at a random interval from the front to the back. So you don't get to control the flipping interval. People ask for it, but you do get a nice flipping effect that's not all in time with each other. So if there's like 8 tiles on the start screen and they all have backs, it doesn't look like a reader board, right? We're doing something smart to make sure that it looks a little nicer. With that being said, let's get into the demo. And before I show you the code, I just want to show you how it actually looks, how the application that I wrote looks to get this all set up. So I've got the emulator open, and I'm just going to go into my app. I called it MSNBC News. And I just want to show you how it's laid out so you can see how things are going to work later. This is a main page of news categories. It's all mocked up data. Basically, I've got some world news, some local news. And if I click on any of these news categories, it's going to take me deeper into the application and then take me to that category of news. So now I've got some world news stories that are inside the application. And then again, if I click on any one of the individual stories, I'm actually going to pass some parameters into the next page to show which story I want to display. And I'll show you. I just throw it up in a dialog box here so you can see it. So those are the parameters I passed in. And then there's the story ID, just a very simple navigation service that I did inside Silverlight. So that's how the application is laid out. You can see that there's different stories in the local news category as well. It's just the same thing. They're all different categories of news. Now let's say that I'm really interested in the world news category. So I go to the world news a lot and I want to read it very frequently. So I don't want to come into the app and go there. I just want to go to it directly. I'm going to click this pin icon. And when I do, watch what happens. The application is going to exit and I'm going to be taken right to the start screen, just like the native experiences. The tile is going to go into the last available spot on the start screen. So I click the pin icon, the tile shows up. It's just like any other tile. I set the properties on it. I just put a count of 1 up there just to show it. And I changed the title to World News Today. I chose what background image I wanted on it. And it's just like any other tile. I can take it now. I can move it just like I would any of my other tiles. And it belongs to this application, but it takes me to a different place. I'm going to pin another one real quick. I'm just going to back into the app using fast app switching. Pin another tile. Now I've got another tile right next to it here. I want to show you that whenever I go into this tile, it's going to take me directly to the World News section of my application. You see it opened to the World News category. It didn't take me to the main page. So there's that deep linking into the application experience. So let me take you to some of the code that does this. And actually, before I do that, let me just show you how you can delete tiles as well. So this is just like any other tile now. If I go and I delete it from the start screen, it's going to disappear and go away. When I go into my application, what I've done is I enumerate through the tiles that are out there. I'll show you how to do that. And you can see it no longer shows unpinned because it has already been unpinned. But you can delete tiles programmatically as well. So if I click the unpin icon and I go back out to the start screen now, you're going to see that those tiles don't exist. They disappeared. You can also update programmatically, and I'll show you that too. So I'm just going to bear with me for 1 second. Just going to repin these real quick for part of the demo later. And now we'll jump into the code. So in Visual Studio, I'm right on the method that I use to do this. And it's really pretty simple. I'm just using a click event. And the first thing I do is I go out and I look for any tiles that are already out there. Now, I can enumerate through the tiles, but they're only my tiles. They're not anybody else's. So you don't see all the tiles on the start screen. You just see the ones that belong to you. And I do that by looking through shell-tile.activeTiles. And I'm using a link query just to look for something unique about the tile that I know about. And I'll show you how this fits in later. If I find a tile that has this unique data in it, then I don't want it to show as pin. I want it to show as unpin because it's already out there. Now, you don't have to do this. You could just lazily just say, try and pin it every time. But you wouldn't be keeping state. I mean, it would just not work. We wouldn't throw an exception or anything. But basically, if you try to pin the tile and it's already out there, it just won't get pinned again. Once I find out that there's not a tile out there, I actually start to create the object that holds the properties for the tile. And in this case, I'm just setting three of them. Background image, count, and title. I could have also set some of the other ones like back background image, back content, and back title. I'll show you those a little later, but these are all I wanted to update when I first pinned the tile. Once I've set the properties up, you can ignore this. This is just me changing the image to be different. I call shell-tile.create, and that is what actually takes, and that's when you get exited out of the application, and the tile gets pinned. And whenever I call create, you can see I'm passing the parameters I want this application to launch with now as the unique ID for the tile. Instead of having like a GUID or some random thing that identifies the tile in some kind of uniqueness, this is your unique ID because it always has to be unique anyway. So that's what you use to specify the uniqueness of the tile. It's the tile ID, and that'll come in later when we talk about another feature that we're adding. And that's pretty much it. Send the data that you want, the tile gets pinned, and that's the tile on the start screen. And then when I went to delete the tile, it's very, very simple. If I found the tile out there and it was already pinned, then I call tofind.delete, and that deletes the tile. It's about as easy as it gets. So that's it for this part of the demo. Let's move on to some of the other new features. So I said that people had asked for more things inside push notifications, and so we did some things underneath the covers. And those things start with increasing the reliability of push notifications. Now, when your mobile phone is connected to an operator's network, you may not realize it, but your data connection is trying to be active that whole time, even if you're not doing anything with it. And having a bunch of inactive, basically data connections sitting there on the mobile operator network that aren't doing anything, is not great for the operator's network. It causes congestion. So they take the time to actually pick some interval where if they don't see any activity during that time, they drop the data connection off. That's the best way for them to manage their network and make sure that they don't get too congested. It's the right thing to do. But what it means is if you've got something like push that needs a persistent connection all the time to work, things get a little complicated because every operator does that in a different way. Some operators cut you off at a regular interval. Some operators cut you off at a much shorter interval during busy times of the day and a longer interval in the evening to give you more time to have an inactive data connection. And figuring that out is not easy. It's actually very complex, especially if it's dynamic. What we've done in this release is we've completely changed our timeout detection, our TDET mechanism, so that we've got much broader network compatibility across all the operators in the world. It's going to be really important in places like Europe or other some developing parts of the world where operator timeouts tend to be very short today. In the U.S., we're lucky. Operator timeouts tend to be a little long, so it's pretty easy to deal with. But our new mechanism is much faster at responding to changes and making it so that you don't have to worry about the TDET not being able to be in the time limit that the operator specified. The other thing we did is there is some limit to how low we can send what we call a heartbeat to keep the connection alive. At some point, it just doesn't make sense anymore because it's not efficient for the battery. We'll kill the battery if we try and constantly ping the network. The radio is the most expensive thing on the device. It's very, very expensive. And every time you bring it up, it costs a lot of standby time. So in our old release, if we got below our minimum threshold for what we could handle for timeout detection, we went into polling mode. And polling mode basically meant we went and talked to the push server every hour. And every hour doesn't feel very real time, actually, right? I mean, every hour is kind of too long for some information to feel like it's current anymore. So in this release, we still have polling mode because we still have to respect the fact that we can't kill the battery. But because of some of the other things I'll talk about, we've been able to bring that way down. Instead of an hour, now, worst case scenario, if you're on a completely non-persistent connection-friendly network, you'll still get 15-minute intervals of data retrieval instead of an hour. So we've brought it down pretty considerably. In addition, we've done some things to increase efficiency. So before, we didn't have something called TLS resume. Your phone goes in and out of data connectivity all the time. It's constantly in and out of data connectivity, actually. And if we came back from that inactive, or if we came back from that disconnected state, we had to do like a full handshake, and that just takes too long. So we've changed that. We can resume sessions better now. That makes a pretty big change. We also now know when the server's done talking to us. If it sends us a batch of notifications down and it knows nothing else has come in and it doesn't look like there's anything else to deliver, it tells us. And because it tells us that, we can bring the radio down extremely quickly. We can take advantage of some of the stuff that the radio vendors give us and say, we want to do fast dormancy. We want to collapse that connection quickly and save a lot more battery. And then finally, we also do concurrent tile downloads now. Before, it wasn't such a big deal because you couldn't have multiple tiles for your application. But now that you have multi-tile, instead of downloading all those tiles serially, we can download them in parallel. So that way we take better use of all the bandwidth we've got on the data connection and make sure that we get through the download process faster so we keep the radio up for less time. And then finally, we've increased performance. So there's a state machine inside Push Client Service that runs on the phone, and it needs to do a lot of stuff to take care of all the applications. And we've collapsed a lot of that down. We've made it a lot faster. We've collapsed some of our queue logic as well. Things are a lot less redundant now. So the channel that we use to talk to the push server, instead of it being used for so many configuration messages like suppressing and unsuppressing, all the different things we have to do to establish communications, we've shrunk that down, and now it can be used for what it should be used for, and that's push notifications coming from your services. So what does that give us? That gives us a 30 endpoint limit. We're really pretty happy about that because we found through research that 30 endpoints is really going to be quite a bit for people on the phone. And when you couple that with the fact that you can do multiple tiles now, it's going to feel like a lot of really live, exciting stuff going on the device. Now let's move on to some of the new features, some of the kind of exciting stuff. Let's talk about the fact that multi-tile and back of tile couldn't be given to you just for the local tile API. We need to do it for push notifications as well. So we thought of this as a way to do like multiple weather locations or news categories. A lot of people don't want just one place pinned to the start screen for weather. They want to see home and work, or they want to see the city they live in and the city they commute to, something like that. So now you could have Portland and Seattle and wherever you wanted, multiple tiles for weather locations and all of those getting push notifications. You could do sports scores. I know a lot of people are really interested in having a couple of teams pinned to the start screen and getting updates anytime something changes in the game score. I want one for Twitter. I want one because I follow a couple comedians on Twitter that I like, and I'd like to have those guys pinned on my start screen and see their tweets directly on the start screen. With this, just like with the local tile API, you can update any tile that belongs to your application. So if it belongs to your application, you can change it, or you can update it. And it doesn't require you to change the API that you use today at all. So today you would use something called bind to shell tile. That's the same thing that you use going forward. You still bind to shell tile. You just, when you do that, it binds you to all tiles. So now all tiles are available for delivery of a tile update. Basically, the only additional thing you need to do is you send the tile ID up to your service. So that tile ID I talked about, that unique ID that specifies how the application should be launched, that's a new piece of information you send up to your cloud service when you send a URI. Basically, when you're in communication with it, you send that up. Because that's how you direct the tile updates down to the individual tiles. And then the other thing you're going to have is you're going to have three new elements on the back of the tile for the back of the tile properties. And this is what that looks like. So this is the XML payload that you send down when you want to do something. And so this is the new in gray is the new things that you can do. The ID there in the tile, you can have the back background image, the back content, and the back title as new elements that you can put values inside of. And I'll show you how this works in just a minute. Next is something that I don't think you guys have seen before, something called deep toast. Deep toast is another kind of deep linking. So today when you get a toast notification, you click it and it just launches the application. But now you can click a toast notification and it'll take you directly to some experience inside the application. You can take it to a specific page in your application, or you could just pass parameters with name value pairs down and you could have your main page do the work for you and choose something to do. It's a way for you to send some additional data down to your application, but these have to be a local URI. You couldn't have a toast notification that launched to you, you know, to an internet site. You could only have a toast notification that invokes something local on the device. And again, it doesn't take any API change, so you don't have to change anything inside your app code to do this. You just do bind to shell toast. That's all you'd really need. And it uses standard Silverlight navigation methods. So you're used to using onNavigated2 when you go from page to page to pull something out. It's the same thing. You get the same capability with the parameters that come in from the toast notification. And all you need to do this is one new element. One new element in the payload called param. And you can see an example of sending parameters down that I've given there. And you can send multiple name value pairs. You can send just name value pairs if you want. You can send just a page if you want. You can slice it and dice it kind of however you like. And I'll show you how this works when I do my demo in just a second. So let's move back over to the emulator. And I want to show quickly, actually, a website that I've got up here. So to do this demo, I just wanted to do a simple Azure page because I wanted to prove to people that it's really easy to do. And this took me about 15 minutes to do. To get this Azure page written, it's just an ASP.NET page. It's not like it's anything special. And to actually get it deployed into Azure took maybe another 15 minutes for my first time to do it. So I'm thinking maybe half an hour of investment all up to get this up and running in Azure out in the cloud. And so just to prove it really is in Azure, this is my Azure management portal. This is my account. You can see I've got a deployment out there called tfennel hello push. That's this page right here that you can see. And I'm going to use it to send all of the things down to the phone and show you how the tile updates work. So the first thing to keep an eye out for is watch this world news tile here. I'm going to send some new things down to it. I've got the URI here. This is that unique identifier I talked about. In reality, your cloud service would just have this in a table and would send things out to it, but I'm just using it here in a text box for illustration. But this is where I'm going to send things. This is the tile ID that I talked about. So this is what I set in the application using the local tile API. This is how tile got pinned. It's a unique ID. So this is how I'm going to direct the update using push coming from the cloud. I'm going to change the count. Right now it's 1. It's going to be 10. I'm not going to change the front title or image, and I'm actually not going to change the back title, but I am going to change the back content to say World News Update. And I'm going to change the image on the back to be something else as well. I'm using a local image in my application package. You could use an image that you get from the internet as well if you'd like. And so let me send the tile down to the phone. Oh, there it goes. So you can see the tile updated, and if you just give it a second, it always feels like a long time on stage, but just watch. The tile will flip over. And so now you can see I put a different image on the back of the tile, and it says World News Update for the content string. And in a second, it'll flip back over. And just to prove that it really does work for all of them, let's go ahead and do another one. Let's update the local news tile as well. Let's put 11 on it. Let's make it say local news update in the content, and let's put a different image on the back of it. And what I'm printing out here at the bottom is the status that I get back from the push server, just so that I know whether the tile made it, the push actually made it down. Let's send the tile down. You can see how quickly the count updated there to be 11. And in just a second here, that tile will also flip over, and you'll see different content on it. And you can see they didn't flip at the same time because we're trying to keep it feeling very dynamic, not so kind of ordered together as they flip over. So that's how you can get content on the back of your tile using push. You can do that using the local tile API as well. I just wanted to show it using push to show that you can kind of mix and match how you update your tile. So let's say that I see that I've got some new stuff in my world news category, and I want to go read what happened, what changed in the world news. So I'm going to click on that. It's going to launch me into the world news piece of my application. And say I go through and I read the stories, some of them look interesting, and I want to know now if these stories change, but just the tile update isn't enough. I'm really interested, and I want to get a toast notification if any of these stories change. We require that you put an opt-in for toast notifications, because unlike a tile, toasts are actually intrusive. So if I want to send a toast notification down, I need to throw some UI to the user and basically ask if that's okay. The best thing to do is to have somewhere in settings maybe to toggle it on and off, but the first time you could just throw some UI and say, are you sure you want to use toasts in this application? So I'm going to click this toast icon. That's PM art, so it doesn't look the best, but it's supposed to be a piece of toast, and it just shows a dialog box. Do you really want to sign up for toast? Yes, I do. I'm going to say okay. I change it to say, untoast now. And if I leave the application, I've actually already filled in some of the Toast notification stuff on this side in the Azure app. I'm just going to make the Toast say world news update, some text about the story that I want the person to go read, and then here's the parameters that I'm sending down. So I'm saying launch page1.xaml, and after you launch page1.xaml, I want this story ID, this name value pair to come through. And so now I'm going to send the Toast. You're going to see it show up at the top of the screen. I'm going to click on it, and it's going to miss all the beginning stuff of the application and take me right to the story. And just like standard server-like navigation, I pop the parameters there and using onNavigated2, and now I'm right inside the story. So now I've delivered the user right to the experience that they wanted without them having to navigate down through my app. And backwards navigation works as well, so that way I take right to the start screen, which is the recommended behavior. So that's how it works out here. Let me show you how it actually looks in code. So what we do to set up the push channel is up here at the top of my app, and it's a pretty standard pattern. As a matter of fact, I think that this is the pattern we actually have on MSDN today. What I do is I create a couple of variables, right up here. I've got something called HTTP notification channel. That's going to hold my channel object, and I've got something for the URI because I want to have the URI printed out. This is just an easy way for me to do it and get the URI in the debugger. And then I'm going down to actually setting up the push channel. So I go looking for a push channel, and essentially if I don't find one, which means I've never used push in the application before, then I'm going to create a new one. I'm going to call it my push channel, and I'm going to register for some events. Now what these events are, channel URI updated is what happens when the URI comes back from the push service. This delegate will fire, and then now you've got the URI and you can send it up to your cloud service. Error recurred is in case we have any errors that you want to do something with. There's several error codes. You can look at the documentation online. HTTP notification received is what you would use if you wanted raw notifications coming into your app. And shell toast notification received is if you want to take the toast notification and your app is already running and do something with it. Because if your app is in the foreground and you send a toast, typically it won't show up at all. But if there's something in that toast that you might want and you hook this event, we'll send it up to you in a property bag, and then you can pull that stuff out of it and do something with it if you'd like. Once I've set up my delegates, then I just open the channel. So call open means now go out to the server and start the negotiation and get me back my URI. And then finally, here I'm actually binding to shell tile as well. I'm not binding to toast here because I'm doing this in the constructor, and I haven't asked the user yet if they want to use toast. So tile you can do without having to ask, but toast you have to ask. The other possibility is that I already had a channel, if that's the case, and I still register for all my delegates. I just take the URI that's already in that object and I grab it, and right here I'm just printing it out to the debug so that I can copy it and put it in my Azure service. And that's pretty much it. That's everything that sets my app up to now receive push notifications. The other thing you saw me do was on the world news page, I opted in for toast. I opted in for toast notifications. And basically, what I'm doing is whenever I click the image right here, I'm looking to see if a push channel already exists. And if it does, then I know I can bind to shell toast. But the first thing I do is see if toast is already bound. Because if it's already bound, it's going to throw an error if I try and bind it again. So assuming it's not, I bind to toast. And assuming that I want to unbind, you just call unbind to shell toast. Very, very simple, easy to do. And that is all the code behind basically the push pieces of the application. Jump back into the slides here. So let's talk about how we did. What did we say we would do, and did we deliver? We said, give me more control of my tile. Well, we've definitely got a lot more control of the tile than we had in the 7.0 release. You've now got the local tile API, the shell tile API. You can do multiple tiles, and you can do the back of the tile. So if you want to do something with your tile, you can add a lot of content to the tile for your application. You said, give me richer notifications and interactions. So not only is there a local tile API, but everything you can do with that local tile API, including the new stuff like multi-tile and back of tile, you can now do that with push. And in addition with push, now you can do deep toast. You can go directly to an experience by clicking on a toast. You said, give me more reliable notifications. And we really feel strongly that we've done that through those different types of reliability, efficiency, and performance I talked about earlier. You said, give me more endpoints per phone. Now we've got 30 endpoints per phone. And you said, give me more cloud samples. And we've actually got a lot of new recipes and Azure samples coming out. As a matter of fact, if you go up on create.msdn.com right now, we just had a new one put up in the fundamentals section. I think it's actually number 11. And it's how to build an Azure service to use push notifications. And it's not just a simple ASP.NET page like I did. It's an actual service that you can really interact with. It's a great example of how to use Azure in the cloud. Really recommend it. And of course, we're going to completely rewrite the MSDN docs as well. We've got a lot of new stuff we've got to tell you about. The MSDN documentation rewrite will be coming very soon. So We've seen a lot of creative and inspiring ideas out there already. We've seen some stuff that we really didn't expect people to do, and we're really happy and surprised by it. And now there's even more stuff with all the new features in the platform. So we can't wait to see what you folks do with all that. We really think it's exciting that you can't really find them on any other platform. I'm not saying push is unique. I'm saying what we can do with some push notification types is very unique to Windows Phone. And we really don't think push notifications are very hard to do. And if you think otherwise, I would really like to talk afterwards because I want to make it as simple as possible. I want to lower all the barriers for push notifications, and that includes not just the local API, the API on the phone, but what you do in the cloud as well. If you think you need more samples for cloud scenarios, how to do your cloud service, let me know. I'd love to have specific comments on what we could do to make that easier. And then finally, thank you to all the developers in my life, the internal guys who made all this stuff that you see possible, but really to all of you guys, because you're what make this really happen. The applications that you've come up with are just fantastic. We're really excited about them. And if you use push notifications and you use the local tile API, if you combine all these things in kind of an end-to-end scenario, we know you're going to stand out. We know your applications are going to be something in marketplace that people really, really like to see and that are more popular than those that don't. So that's all I really had, and I just wanted to open it up for questions, if anybody's got questions. There's mics down the center row if you want to ask a question. The gentleman in the back, you were first, I believe. Can we have the mics up?
Test. There we go.
All right.
I was wondering to find out when we'll be able to have something like a raw notification, but that goes directly to structured storage so that it can update information on the phone that your app can then use later.
Okay, so the question was, could I get a type of notification that came down and updated structured storage? So like a raw notification, but that didn't go into the app, that went down into ISO store or something to send an update, get some data cached. The answer is not in this coming release, but you could do something else in the coming release. You could use a live agent to go out sometime in the background and have it go grab some data, cache it, and pull it down into your structured storage.
But that's not push.
It's not push, but it's one way to accomplish what you want to do. Okay, go ahead.
Shelltile.create. So if, let's say, I have three pages in my app, and the user pins three tiles, mm-hmm. So the app inside will use shelltile.create maybe three times. Now, if there's a new update that I provide where one of the pages is gone, so on the update, I have to actually go and delete it, right?
Right. So the question is, what if in one version of my app I've got multiple pages and I have tiles that link to those pages? And then after I update my app, one of those pages goes away. What happens? That tile would just take you to the main page of the experience. And you would want to, in your app, when the update, someone launched the update, go get rid of that tile because you know it doesn't need to be there anymore. So we'll degrade gracefully, but it won't cause any real issues. You should take the time then in your app to go get rid of that tile.
One more question. So what's the scope for abuse for somebody who keeps calling shelltile.create?
Excellent question. The question is, couldn't somebody abuse shelltile.create and just put a bunch of tiles out on your start screen if they wanted to? Not really, because it's actually system controlled. When you call shelltile.create, your code's done executing because we exit the app and pin the tile to the start screen. So there's no way for you to iterate through a loop and create tiles just continuously on the start screen. It actually takes the user out. It's kind of, you could just have an app that started up and just called shelltile.create every startup, but then every time it started, it would exit and a new tile would show up on the user screen. It's not going to be a great experience. So it's kind of system and user controlled.
Thank you.
Also, just to add on to that, I should mention that you can't call create from a background agent. So you've heard a lot about live agents probably this week. You can't call create from a live agent because people aren't going to want to see tiles showing up and have no idea where they potentially came from. You can call update from a live agent to change what's on your existing tile, and you can call delete, but you can't call create. Go ahead, sir.
Could you clarify that the background on the tile, that's not for the primary tile, it's only for secondary tiles?
No, so the question is, what properties do you get and where, kind of? And just to go back through them all, you get them all on any tile. You can do the back of an application tile. You can do the back of secondary tiles. All the properties that you can do now apply to any tile that your application owns.
Would you still do it through code, though, and not through the app manifest like you would for the primary tile image?
The question is, would you still do it through code? Yes, you still do it through code.
Okay. You showed whenever you drilled deep into the app that hitting the back button exited the app.
Right.
Do you know if that's going to be enforced by Backstack guidelines during the app submission process? Like if I thought, for me, that maybe it makes more sense for the back to take them to the home page of the app?
So the question is, what is the desired experience from when I've drilled deep into an app through some kind of deep link and the user hits the back button? And the desired experience guidance is going to be the same as 7. It should go back to where they just came from, which in these cases is always going to be the start screen. If you have specific scenarios, maybe we should talk about them after, but I want to make sure we're not missing anything, but the guidance isn't going to change.
Okay, yeah, I guess the main thing there is like you're not supposed to have a home button, so like...
Right.
And then I guess the last one is just more of a comment. Like, I find the tile system on Windows Phone one of the most compelling parts.
Agreed.
And I have so many things tiled, and now after I see this, I see that expanding even further. And I'm somewhat disappointed that there weren't more information about how to organize your pin tiles into several different screens, perhaps, or instead of this one long list. So it's just more of a comment that if tiles are really going to continue to expand and get more and more involved, that they may become not manageable when you have 30 or 40 pin like this.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks.
I just have two quick questions, one simple, one vague. The first one, the endpoint from 15 to 30.
Yep.
When does that change happen? Is that with the May tool refresh, or is that on your end?
So the question is, when do we get 30 endpoints from 15? And you'll be able to start playing with that in the emulator as soon as the tools are released, but it really doesn't come out until the next release of Windows Phone is on people's devices.
Okay, gotcha. And the second question is a little bit more vague, but I think you kind of addressed it here. The current system with push notifications, we, from my end as a consumer, as I do reporting and stuff, a lot of people have problems after like around 8 or 9 apps, they mm-hmm. stop working. In fact, I had this happen this morning testing an app. And it just breaks the system. I know it's kind of vague, but something with channels overlapping or getting renamed, I'm not really certain what the problem is, but is this addressed that?
So the question is kind of, it seems like it's kind of unreliable for you in your experience, some of the things you've been doing lately in terms of applications not working for push after a while?
Yeah, and actually a lot of readers from our site and stuff like this complain about this problem where after a couple, it's not 15, that's the weird thing. Sometimes people are hitting 5 to 10. And they just stop working the tile. And unless you hard reset the device,
right,
you can't get that channel back.
Okay, let's talk afterwards. I'd like to hear a lot more about that.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Hi, this is about tombstoning, multitasking, and notifications.
Okay, I'm good at one of those.
So currently, if you have an application on the stack and you move forward and you launch the application again, the old one is effectively removed or it's relaunched and there's no tombstoning information, so it's like a fresh session. With multitasking, do you know if that changes? Do you actually go back to the one in the stack, does it launch a new one without the tombstoning? And this relates to the fact that right now, if you click on a toast, and of course a start icon, it actually launches a new session with no tombstoning. Has that changed? Because if I have my deep linking one, am I launching a new session, throwing away the old tombstoning, for example?
Right. So the question is kind of like, what happens with the new behavior that we're not tombstoning apps in the next release of Windows Phone when you use like a toast notification to launch an application? Basically, the toast notification is still going to be a new instance. So whenever you click the toast notification, the application is going to launch, but it's going to launch you right to the experience, like I showed. If you were then to exit the app using the start button, it is now in the back stack, living there, assuming you've implemented everything correctly for tombstoning for Darnancy. It's still there, living in the back stack. You can go back through the task switcher and get to that point. But you're not going to see multiple instances of that app. You wouldn't see one left over from earlier where you were on one page and now this new one from another page. It's going to be that most recent page in the back stack.
So if you got another notification while at the start screen and you click that, that would launch again but into that new link.
Correct.
Right. Thanks.
Thanks. Any more questions? Comments? Come over here. I won't be able to hear you. Come on over. Sorry, I didn't realize it was such a long walk.
So assume that you're doing an app like Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody pings you. The only way to do that today is through notification, since you're not actually running in the background as such.
Correct.
You're only running at some time. So when a push notification comes and the person is not paying attention to the device, how do you get his attention?
Right, so I think this is a general question about like notification delivery and people potentially missing notifications. So it gets the question was specifically about Skype. If someone was to use Skype and send you a notification about a call, for example, and the toast notification comes up on the screen, but you've got a phone in your pocket for whatever reason, or you just don't hear it, what happens? How do I get their attention better? And the answer is that you can't at the moment. Toast notifications are meant to be very intrusive in some degrees, but not to be annoying to the user. So in this case, for a VoIP application, if you did something like that and clicked the toast or missed the toast and it went away, it's essentially going to be gone away in this release of the phone. Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. Skype was just an example because I'm just thinking of other things. The way, of course, you're not dealing with
multitasking. Well, if you think about other apps, so Skype's kind of an interesting case because could also update your tile, but it doesn't really do you much good to know that your tile's updated again if you're not paying attention to your phone. If you think about non-real-time communication scenarios, if you send a toast down and the user misses the toast, you can always update the tile to let them know something happened, right?
Yeah, but like, let's just think of a very, let's say you're doing a calendar app for an OEM. And so when you're writing a calendar app, the person will move out of the calendar app, but you want to tell him your meeting is in 5 minutes. Well, you're not running in the background. You only get to run once in 30 minutes. So the only way to do this is using a push notification.
Actually, so the question is, what if I have a calendar scenario and kind of a reminder scenario? And in the next release of Windows Phone, we do have support for reminder notification types, just like the native OS has. It's nothing to do with push notifications. Actually, there's a session you should go online and read about it. I think either Peter talked about it or Darren Miller talked about it. But was it Darren? So there's a session online that can talk more about what you can do with these new event-based. And don't think of it like a live agent. Those notifications are farmed out to the system, and the system will make sure that they're shown when you say they should be shown. It's not restricted by the live agent running time.
I see. So, but a reminder will always go on until the user actions on it.
I believe so.
Okay.
Good. Good questions. Any more? Okay. Thanks, you guys.